Matthew chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 25 together this morning. Just a little bit of review before we start the message today. Last week's message was called The Life-Changing News for Mary. Well, this week, the life-changing news for Joseph. And last week, we saw that Mary was a spiritual young lady who had a very good reputation, but she was from a town that didn't have such a good reputation. And the news that the angel Gabriel brought to her would change her life forever. Just we talked about this a little bit, but her beautiful wedding she was planning with her family and her friends would not take place. And her life from that moment on would be drastically changed. But as an obedient servant of the Lord, she submitted to the will of her father and was obedient. And as I stated last week, I am sure that she told her parents. And I am sure that maybe she even told her maidens, but we're definitely sure she told Joseph. Because we're going to see that a little bit more and delve into that a little bit more today. But as much as he loved her, as much as Joseph loved her, we know he didn't believe her, because she had to quickly leave Nazareth for Judea to escape to the house of her cousin Elizabeth. Remember, it said she had to leave with haste. And so once again, I'm going to ask us all to travel back in our minds some 2,000 years ago. And remember, up to this point, God had been silent for 400 years. There was no word from heaven at all. And that silence was broken 6 months prior to the event that we're seeing today, when God broke into the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and he announced to Zechariah through the prophet through the angel Gabriel, he announced the birth of John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner of the Messiah. 6 months after that, Gabriel comes to Nazareth, and he speaks to Mary. So Mary humbly submits to God's plan, and I am confident she shared again this news with her betrothed husband Joseph. Now think with me, how do you think Joseph would have received this news? Okay? Can you imagine what is going on in his mind? Look what the Bible says in verse 18 of Matthew 1. But verse 20, not 18. But while he thought on these things, right? He's thinking about this. Can you imagine what's going on in his mind? Mary, virgins don't have babies. Mary, again, I know that I haven't been with you, but yet you tell me you're expecting a child. Mary, why have you been unfaithful to me? This is what's going on in his mind. And as we're going to see, Joseph had two options. He could make a public example of her, or he could privately put her away. But the angel was going to announce a third option, and it would be a radical one, because he starts out with two little words, fear not. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. So, as I stated last week, the lukewarm American Christianity of today knows nothing of radical and sometimes extreme sacrifices that the Lord may require. And this is, as we're going to see again today, an extreme and radical sacrifice that they were to make. So notice with me verse 18, the pregnancy. There is notes up here if you want to follow along. Maybe you took it already. The pregnancy, and notice the espousal, verse 18, the first part. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Just let me pause there for one moment. Was on this wise. The birth of Jesus Christ was according to this. You know, only the scriptures could explain the uniqueness of the birth of Christ. Right? This makes no sense anywhere else. But only the scripture could explain this, because this is truly a work of God. But it says, now the birth of Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Okay? So the espousal. Let's talk a little bit about the espousal period of 2,000 years ago. Okay? Today, it's very different. There's some similarities, but it's very different. You know, but in the days of Joseph and Mary, the espousal or the betrothal in those times among the Jewish people, okay? First thing that happened, the very first thing that happened, was there was a binding legal contract between two families, and it was sealed by an exchange of gifts. During this time, the couple would not live together, and sexual relations during this time was regarded as adultery. So Joseph comes to Mary's family, and in particular Mary's father, and he asks if he could marry his daughter. Now, it didn't matter if it was an arranged. We're not told if it was arranged or not. Sometimes they were arranged, family to family. Sometimes a man could ask a woman, but you came to the father and you asked the father, and a contract was sealed. Now, don't think they got out a paper and not that, but they made a contract amongst themselves. And from that time on, that was like our marriage certificate, right? You're legally married. From that point on, you're betrothed, okay? And this was called the caducin, and it was this legal binding contract. The only way out of this betrothal was a divorce. You couldn't say, I changed my mind. See you later. Okay? A lot of times today, engagements are broken, right? Sometimes the guy gets the ring back, sometimes he doesn't. Okay? But not so much in those days. A gift or a dowry was given to the bride's family by the groom as compensation and sealed the marriage contract. So depending on the wealth of the family would depend on the dowry. But Joseph would bring a gift to Mary's family to compensate for the loss of their daughter. Okay? They exchanged gifts. And the dowry was also a gift from the bride's father to the bride and groom. There would also be a dowry given by the bride's father to the new couple to help start their married life together. Okay? And this is all part of the legal contract. This is what is going on. And so this has already taken place. Joseph has already met with Mary's parents, and Joseph has asked permission to marry his daughter. That position is given. They exchange the gifts, and Joseph leaves to go and build their house. And after that time, but before their wedding night, the angel visits Mary. And the angel says, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. And you have conceived a child in your womb, and you're going to have a baby. During that time, she tells Joseph. And Joseph is just really, really excited, right? No. Notice the evidence. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Before they had physical relations, she was pregnant. Before their wedding night, when the marriage was consummated and the wedding was celebrated with all the guests, between the betrothal, that legal document, and the wedding consummation, the physical part of the wedding takes place under the chuppah or a tent or a room which represented the home that they were going to build together. So the wedding hasn't taken place. There's been no physical consummation of the marriage. And before they came together, Mary is found with child. So that is the pregnancy. But then notice with me the problem. Verse 19. Joseph had two options. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Now, what did we learn about Mary last week? Mary was a woman with a good reputation, right? She was a spiritual woman. She had a good reputation with God, and she was a holy woman. She had a good reputation amongst her family and friends and townspeople. And we're told of Joseph, he is what? He's a just man. He's also a good man with a good reputation. Just as Mary was a woman with a good reputation, Joseph is a man with a good reputation from a town that doesn't have a good reputation. Okay? So, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. So Joseph had two options. And the first one was to make her a public example. And if you keep a finger here, but you turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, fifth book in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, chapter 22 and verse 23 and 24, we learn here that Joseph could have made a public example of Mary and had her publicly stoned to death. Deuteronomy 22, verse 23. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, okay, what is Mary? Betrothed unto Joseph, right? If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of the city. Ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he had humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. Okay? Now, they make references in different parts if the woman is taken against her will. But it specifically says in the text, she didn't cry out. Okay? So this is consensual. You have a man and a woman, and this woman is betrothed. In between the betrothal and the marriage, you have them, her being unfaithful. And according to the Jewish law, she could have been stoned. That's harsh. But that was the law. Okay? But Joseph is a just man. And I think we also see his love for Mary here. He doesn't want that for her. But, nonetheless, in Joseph's mind, she's still been unfaithful, so he wants to put her away privately. And the law made reference for that in chapter 24 of Deuteronomy, verse 1. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it to her in her hand and send her out of his house. Okay? And this is what Joseph had decided he was going to do. He was going to just privately divorce her. So this was his two options. But notice, as Joseph opines in verse 20, and while he thought on these things, Joseph, all alone in his mind, thinks about this, meditate about this. Now, all of us have been there, haven't we? We've all been alone in our minds, okay? Sometimes it's scary, but we've all been alone in our minds. But he is trying to put together in his mind the events of the past few days and what he's been told. And again, let's give him a little bit of credit here. We mentioned this last week. How many virgins have ever had a baby? None. Virgins don't have babies. But Mary's pregnant. And I know I'm not the father. What am I going to do? I loved her. We had this all planned. If I go on and marry her, I'll be ridiculed. I don't want her to die. I don't want her, to be still. I guess my only option is to divorce her. Because remember, the betrothal was a legal contract. Okay? Just think of Jewish culture 2,000 years ago, and also think of the cruelty of the people. Right? People were cruel, weren't they? I mean, we saw last week, even when Jesus is 30-some years old, right? 30 years after the fact, the Jewish people remind him, we weren't born of fornication. So that reputation stayed with him. That reputation stayed with Mary. And as we're going to learn, that reputation probably stayed with Joseph too. But a provision happens. Look at verse 20, the second part of the verse. A messenger comes. It says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So the messenger, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Jewish tradition tells us, we're not told here it's Gabriel, but Jewish tradition also tells us that Gabriel is the angel appointed over dreams. Okay, and I truly believe, though it's not mentioned, I believe it's Gabriel. Okay, and he tells them, he tells Joseph in his dream, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Now he's reminding Joseph what family line he's from. Joseph, son of David, why is that significant? The Messiah was going to come from whose line? David's. Son of David, the blessed Messiah, messianic line, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Here is a radical third choice. First choice, stone her. I don't want that. Second choice, divorce her. My only option. Third choice, God sends Gabriel, and says, Gabriel, go down, tell Joseph to marry Mary. Radical third option. Remember how cruel people are, right? I'm sure that all of Joseph's friends said, some said stone her, some said divorce her, at least you're going to be done with her. Right? Marry her. Oof. Joseph's a businessman, right? He's a carpenter. He has to work amongst these people. A radical third option available to Joseph, which he or anybody else would not have considered. But why? Why should he marry her? Here's why. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She's telling you the truth. She hasn't been with a man. She is a virgin. And that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Turn your Bible to Luke. We looked at this last week, but just to line up what was told to Mary last week with what is told to Joseph. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Gabriel says to Mary, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Verse 35. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And we talked about this last week, the importance of the virgin birth. With no virgin birth, the Messiah is not the Son of God. He's the Son of Adam. And being the Son of Adam, he's a sinner. And if he's a sinner, he needs salvation. He can't save anybody. So is the virgin birth necessary for our salvation? And the answer is a very affirmative yes. But Mary is not the mother of God. Mary is the mother of Jesus' human nature. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a," what? "Body hast thou prepared for me." Okay? Jesus' personhood already existed. He was God the Son. Okay? He was the second person of the Holy Trinity. But he is a spirit. When Mary gave birth, when Mary conceived, which was what was miraculous, the conception, little ears here, I'm not going to get into it, but we all know today how a child is conceived, right? A man and a woman. Jesus' conception was miraculous because it wasn't through a physical union. It was through the Holy Spirit implanting within Mary a human nature, a body for Jesus to then occupy. And then from that point on, Jesus was forever the God-man, the one person who has two natures, one human, one divine. So God tells Joseph, Mary is not lying. Now, Joseph has this third option. What are you going to name the son? Notice verse 21. He's still talking about the Messiah. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The name of her son, Jesus, Hebrew. We would say the Hebrew word in English, we would say Joshua, but it's Yeshua, okay? And it means Jehovah is salvation. Jesus' name is, the Greek, the Latin, it's Jesus, but they wouldn't have called him Jesus in the house, it would have been Yeshua, Joshua. He will be the Savior. He will be the Messiah. He will save people from their sin. Joseph, this is important because here's what else the angel Gabriel used to convince Joseph that this child which Mary is carrying, which is not yours, but I want you to marry Mary, he is the fulfillment of Scripture. He's the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, verse 22, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and the prophet is Isaiah, and the verse is Isaiah 14, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and excuse me, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. What does that mean? Which being interpreted is God with us. So Joseph, Mary's not lying. Mary's baby is the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. In fact, Joseph, your wife Mary is mentioned in Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin. She's a virgin. She's pure. She has a good reputation. Her reputation amongst me, God, has not been soiled. She's telling you the truth. I did this, Joseph. Now believe her. Don't listen to the advice you're getting from your friends, from your rabbi. Don't listen to your own mind and divorce her. In fact, he's going to be Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh. Notice what happens next, verse 24 and 25. Joseph believes and accepts the radical third option. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, what's the next word? Did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Joseph believes and accepts the radical third option. Let's go back 2,000 years. Do you think Joseph was excited? To one extent, I think he was, okay? Because Mary is telling me the truth. I love Mary. I didn't want to stone her. I had to divorce her. I love, now I can marry her. One hand. The other hand. Oh, what's it going to be like? We're not told a lot of that. But knowing the Jewish people of the first century, I'm sure there was a lot of cruelty. Joseph, you're marrying her? Like Mary, did he realize the public shame that would be brought upon them? But either way, he was obedient. He did as the angel said. And notice Mary's purity until the Savior's birth. It says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Okay? Again, we've talked about this a little bit, but he knew her not till she brought forth her, what's the next word? Firstborn. What does firstborn also, what could firstborn also mean? There'll be what? More, okay? I mean, you could only have one child, that's true, and it, rightly so, is called your firstborn, but we already know from Mark 6 in our study of Mark before we broke for Christmas, we already know the Bible says that Mary had other what? Children, because it says, isn't this, the people were saying in Nazareth, isn't this Joseph's son? The carpenter's son? Isn't his brothers, and it lists a few brothers, and his sisters with us, right? Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. So, in Bible times, and especially in the Jewish faith, your child is named, especially a boy, when they perform the circumcision. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, and he brought forth and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid... that's the wrong reference. Boop, boop, boop. Look at verse 21. That's what I wanted to say. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called what? Jesus. Which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So, Mary has her firstborn son. We see that in Luke chapter 2. The shepherds come. And then 8 days later, when Jesus is brought to the temple to be circumcised, they name him Jesus, just as the angel told him. Okay? So, he took unto him his wife. They lived together from that point on. And Joseph was obedient. Now, you know, we read through these things and we read it. Oh, isn't that a lovely Christmas story? Oh, you know, the angel, you know, came to Mary and said, oh, Mary, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. You're a virgin. Oh, isn't that lovely? Joseph, you know, I know you're struggling with this a little bit, but just, it's okay. Marry, Mary. You know, sometimes that's the feeling we get. You know how much of an upheaval this was to their lives and their world? I mean, they were expecting to get married. That's not a problem. They were expecting to have children together after they were married. That's what married couples do. But the timing, the scandal, but yet both of them were obedient. Now, God's not going to call upon us to make this kind of sacrifice. But God is calling upon us to make sacrifices for him. In closing, look at Philippians chapter 2. Now, that's an awful extreme sacrifice. Wouldn't you say? Let's be honest. That's an extreme sacrifice. To throw ourselves back into a culture that was very different than the culture today. If a young girl has a baby out of wedlock today, it's no big deal, right? I mean, sad to say, it's no big deal. They celebrate it sometimes, you know, even. But in these days, it was a big deal. That wonderful wedding they were planning. We're not told this in the scripture, but the man usually built a house attached to his parents' house. Did Joseph's parents say it was okay? I don't know. We don't know. And that's a big sacrifice to make. And God asks us to make sacrifice. But in the midst of that sacrifice, don't lose sight of the ultimate sacrifice that was being made, the Lord Jesus. Because in Mary's womb is God, the creator of the universe, right? God, who Colossians tells us, God the Son. In Genesis chapter 1, we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim, the Hebrew word, the plural word for God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father thought, Jesus the Son did the creation in the power of the Spirit. God, who inhabited eternity, who lived in heaven amongst the myriads of angels and heard the praise of the angels every day, walked on golden streets, leaves that and takes up residence in Mary's womb for 9 months. That blows my mind. So is Mary and Joseph making a sacrifice? Yep. But a sacrifice that was nowhere near the sacrifice that the Lord was going to make. Look at Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. That means be yielded. You don't have, once you become a Christian, we no longer have the right of way to our mind. Yield to God. Let the same mind be in you, that's in who? Christ. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Before Christ came to earth, he was in the form of God, and he didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. Why didn't he think it was robbery to be equal with God? Because he was God. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He made himself of no reputation. Being God, he took on flesh with all its limitations. Where God is a spirit, where is God at all times? Everywhere. He's everywhere, all the time. But he was going to limit himself for a period of time, not only in a womb, but in a body. Right? He made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself. He didn't think of himself. He became obedient to death. He was willing and not rebellious, even the death of the cross. He was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. And from that moment that Gabriel visited Mary, and from that moment as the Holy Spirit worked in Mary's life to make her conceive a child, from that moment on, God's plan of salvation was put into action. And Jesus at one time was in a synagogue cooing, just like we hear today, learning to walk, learning to eat, learning to read the Bible he wrote, you know, being obedient to his parents. Friends, Jesus is the ultimate example of radical and extreme obedience. He is God. He left the glory and praise of heaven. He put on flesh so he could be a servant who died on the cross for the sins of his creation. Joseph and Mary are examples of radical and extreme obedience. How about us? In today's American Christianity, someone who is completely sold out for Jesus and desires to obey him no matter the cost is considered extreme and radical. Even amongst other Christians. You know, if you want to live for the Lord and be sold out for the Lord, sometimes other Christians are, isn't that a little extreme? Today, most American Christians are locked up in their homes, sitting in their recliners, spending hours staring at some kind of a screen, whether it's a TV screen or a video screen or a computer screen or a phone screen or some kind of screen. It's time for us to start swimming upstream. It's time to stop letting our American culture stifle our witness and testimony to the lost. We need to be radical and extreme in 2023. And how do we do that? Live for the Lord. Obey his word. Just as Mary obeyed the word, just as Joseph obeyed the word, obey the word. And don't worry about what others are going to say. Just do what you know God has told you to do, and he will be glorified. Lord, help us, please, to be obedient to your word.